Balance your trading strategy by adding futures. CME Group helps you manage risk and capture opportunities in all market environments. Capitalize on around-the-clock access to highly liquid global futures and options market across all major asset classes. Just visit your online broker and get started. Plug into valuable educational materials and trading tools and see what adding futures can do for you at cmegroup.com/onthetape. Guy here. You're listening to an audio broadcast of Market Call. That's MRKT Call. It's a daily video series I do with Dan Nathan every Monday through Thursday live at 1 p.m. Eastern. We break down the big market moving headlines and offer trade ideas. Each week, we're joined by our friends Carter Worth of Worth Charting and Liz Young, that's EY of SoFi, for their investment analysis. So check it out. And if you like it, follow at Market Call on Twitter and subscribe to Risk Reversal Media's YouTube page so you never miss an episode. Unbelievable. What's today?
Tuesday.
Feels like it's
June 6th.
Some days it feels like the day it is. Other days it doesn't. Today actually feels like a Tuesday. This is Market Call. Dan, this Market Call brought to you by CME Group, where risk meets opportunity. Of course, FactSet is our data provider. But we have some housekeeping things we want to talk about because today is Tuesday, means yesterday was Monday. A week from yesterday or week from yesterday or week ahead of time, we're going to be doing what? Monday.
Market Call is moving to Sirius XM on Mondays. But it's at noon. So for some of you
noon Eastern time.
Noon Eastern time. We are going to be, and it's going to be, you know, a call-in program. You and I are going to riff a little bit. But we're going to take your calls, which is really what's brilliant about radio, right?
Instead of trolling us or me specifically in the comment section, which, by the way, I enjoy a great deal, as you know, you can actually pick up your phone, you get on that landline and dial the following number. Dan, give me the number because I don't have it at my.
Well, first of all, it is the Sirius XM business channel. It's a Wharton channel. Now, 132. Okay.
132.
Now, a lot of people would say, Dan, you went to the University of Pennsylvania. Sure. Like, what was it like going to Wharton? I'm like, didn't go to Wharton.
Two different things.
I was in the college.
Interesting.
I will tell you. I was a poli-sci major.
So at Georgetown University, people say, where'd you go to school? I said, I went to Georgetown University. You don't differentiate the schools. There's something about the University of Pennsylvania.
They do it.
You know, if you say to somebody, oh, you went to Penn. No, I went to Wharton. That's an asshole thing to say.
It's kind of like the guys who said, well, I went to college in Boston, you know, in Boston.
Or I went to college in California. This is the one I love the most. I went to college in California, and I did my master's in Boston.
Yeah. So that's the Stanford-Harvard combo. Yeah, I see. All right, but here's something that's really interesting. So for a lot of you folk who follow us across our risk reversal media programming, we are going to be adding a new presenting sponsor.
Stop it.
Yeah, we do. It's called Row. You might know them as Row Man, but they have rebranded into Row because it's not just about men's health. They've gone across both sexes, male and female. And so we're going to be adding their CEO founder, Zach, is going to be joining us on the pod and talking about kind of his journey a little bit, creating the company Row, but also the products offerings that they do. And I happen to be a customer.
Well, you've been on a journey as well. I would say a transformation, not a weight transformation.
Well,
a life transformation, and it's manifesting itself in all different ways.
Yeah, no doubt. So you guys have probably been, you might have heard about it. You might have seen it on the web. You might have seen it on TV. So these weight loss drugs, but they're pre-diabetic drugs. So I was prescribed Wegovy through the Row Body program. I started it in January. I have lost 30 pounds. I was at my max weight. I was at 226, guy. Okay. This was in January. I think it was porking up into this thing. I had done this kind of free online visit on Row, and they connect you with a licensed medical professional and then a doctor. And it's a telehealth process and a blood test that they actually send to your home. You do it yourself, you send it back. And so I was prescribed this drug. I was pre-diabetic. I have a lot of health issues of a 50-year-old man. I was high cholesterol, high blood pressure, sleep apnea. Since losing 30 pounds in the last 4 months, I mean, all of this stuff, I'm not lying to you, it's gotten better. And I sleep better. I have more energy. I feel a lot better. And so to me, it has transformed my life. So you're going to be hearing about Roe. You're going to be hearing about Roe Body on the Risk Versus Media programming, because to me, it's been transformative. And, you know, who knows, guys? You're in products for you too.
And you're in a better mood. Hopefully they have some hair products, because I'm getting a little thin up top.
Well, just, you know, they got hair, they got ED, and they got the...
Pardon me?
They have ED, erectile dysfunction, and they also have the Roe Body. All right. You're going to hear more about them, but we just want to get that out of the way. They are part of the Risk Versus Media family. That would be Roe. So thanks to them.
Welcome, Roe. Yeah. And welcome to an S&P that's effectively unchanged yet again. I'm looking at the E-minute futures. We might as well throw the chart up, because that's what we're here to do. Really going nowhere today. But once again, you know, we find ourselves at the top end of this range, the levels we basically got to in August of last year. You see that uptrend line, pretty well-established uptrend we've been in for quite some time. One has to believe at a certain point we're going to test the upper end of that uptrend line, which probably takes us down to about 4,100-ish. The 200-day moving average is slightly below that. I think you know what I think is going to happen. Yeah. I think I know what you think is going to happen. Meanwhile, and we're going to talk about this as well, with a market that's decidedly unchanged, you have a VIX that's actually making not a 52-week low, but a multi-year low as well. So there's so many strange things happening.
Well, we
here.
Talked about it yesterday on Market Call. I mean, the VIX, you know, in 19, okay, in 2018, in the lead up to that quick sell-off that we had in Q4, was trading 11, 12, okay? And then in 19, once the S&P had recovered on the pivot, right, the VIX got back down below the levels where it is right now. And I think in the post-COVID era, if you just think about what we went through in the muscle memory of such a sharp sell-off, you know, we just had higher VIXs, right? We had higher levels predicated on the fact that there was a lot of uncertainty left in the market. Once the Fed went to zero interest rates, once the Fed decided to do QE, which felt like forever, $120 billion of bond buying a month, it just seemed like, you know, there was the potential for them to go the opposite way at some point, or who knows what's going to happen. And that's why we had the slightly elevated VIX. I do think it's interesting, Guy, that as we think about next week's Fed meeting, okay, we're at a situation here. We can throw the CME Fed Watch tool here right now. I think this thing was as high as 55, 60% probability of a 25 basis point hike at this meeting. That was just a few weeks ago. Now you see that's been cut in half here. So what the VIX at 14.30 is telling me is that a lot of investors think that the Fed is really, really close to done. And then they're also not particularly worried about the lag effects of a 5% Fed funds on the economy, because otherwise we would be in the mid to high teens.
I agree with that. I happen to think they're probably done. I don't even know if it makes a difference if they go 25 basis points or not. The effects of 500 basis points of hikes over the last 14 or so months is going to take hold at a certain point. So another 25 basis points or not, again, I don't necessarily think that it matters. Maybe in the short term it matters in terms of market sentiment, but we're going to start to feel the effects. And you're starting to see it around the edges. Some of these ISM numbers have been disastrous. I mean, it stands to reason that the economy is slowing down. That's what the Federal Reserve wants to happen. It's mind-boggling to me that the market doesn't seem to be picking up on that. And look at the E-mini NASDAQ futures.
Runaway, baby.
It's exactly right. You know, I look at this thing and it leaves me sort of scratching my head. We saw the S&P chart. We're up against resistance. Well, guess what? The NASDAQ tells a much different story, and that's basically predicated on the names we talk about all the time.
Well, let's do two things. So yesterday, if Stephen can pull up Apple, you know,
Stephen, by the way, doing yeoman's work.
He's doing a great job. You know, as our whole team is. Jacob was up here in New York all last
Love
week.
Love Jacob.
Jacob was great. Amanda Diaz refreshed AD, off a little, I call little vacation.
And we have interns now.
We have two extraordinary interns. Kylie, and we have Millie.
Kylie goes to Yale.
Yeah.
Her sister goes to Georgetown. Yeah. I guess something happened with maybe Kylie didn't get in or something.
Yeah.
And Millie goes to Georgetown, which is, it's amazing.
Hoya, Saxa.
Just saying.
But we were talking yesterday on Market Call. It's kind of interesting that, you know, Apple was trading a new all-time high then. Let's go to a 2-day chart if they can pull that up or turn it to that. And, you know, I said to Carter, You remember I said, like, remember, like, you know, Apple would have these about faces and they would rally into
the middle of the show yesterday.
The WWDC. And it felt like, you know, there were no cares in the world for this thing. And it did do that, which is good that there is some, you know, gravity still exists to some degree in the market. So let's keep an eye on Apple. Maybe if they can shorten this one up and give me like a year to date chart really quickly here, because you just saw what looked like a double top going back. You know, that's a pretty well-defined uptrend. It doesn't look particularly steep right there, but it is up 40 some percent off of its January lows. The way that chart looks, it's not telling the whole story, but draw that line in your own head and keep an eye on that, because if it were ever to breach that, here's another one, guy. If they can pull up a 1 year chart of NVIDIA, and this is one that's down 2% today, I think these are really important to keep an eye on because these are huge sentiment leaders. We know a lot of money has moved into these sorts of names here. And I just want to, you know, if the S&P is ever going to kind of maybe come back to its trend line, NVIDIA would need to try to fill in that gap, in my opinion. Okay, does that make sense, guy?
Yeah.
And then Apple would need to come back to that uptrend. And those are just some of the things we want to point out. You're going to get the S&P futures back towards certain levels that seem to be a little fear back in the
reasonable
market, which might also constitute a 17 or 18 or 19 VIX. You're going to need those names to lead.
All right, so you see that NVIDIA chart. I want you to visualize that. Now go to the longer-term Apple chart. So I said yesterday, I think on the show, that was December of 2021. I guess it was early January of 2021 where Apple made its prior all-time high. Yep. But you look at that chart and you're saying to yourself, whoa, Nelly. Remember that whole thing? Yep. And remember that Saturday football thing?
Yeah.
Potential for a little bit of
Keith
a double
Jackson.
Top here.
It was Keith Jackson.
Now, visualize that. Now, go to the NVIDIA chart there, Stephen, because what we have the potential for, and it still sets up, is what we call in the business an island reversal. You have that island to the upside, the shorter term one that you showed me before, Stephen, where you actually can see the island and you could see what potentially could happen. So you have that breakaway gap to the upside. We've been effectively trading sideways for 6 or 7 trading sessions. If in fact this stock were to gap open lower at a certain point over the next week or so, that sets up for an extraordinarily powerful technical signal, which we call in the business an island reversal. So just keep an eye on that because it's certainly setting potential to set up that way.
All right. So here, let's pull up the NASDAQ futures chart. Let's put up a short-term chart. Let's pull up like a 2-month chart if they could do that, because I just want to show, and then I want to go back to that 1 year chart, right? So that prior high from August was 13,750. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it. Okay. And if you look at that, I think if you wanted to play, if you think that some of the big leaders, this is Apple, this is NVIDIA, this is Microsoft that's down on the day today, you know, Google is still up, Amazon's still up. If you think they're going to take a breather, okay, then that NASDAQ future, that NASDAQ 100 future, the E-minis is going to check back, I think, to 13,750. So what I would do right here, if I was going to short this thing at 14,538 or something like that, okay, and look to play for a move down about, I don't know, 750 points or so, I'm going to stop this right above yesterday's high. Yesterday's high was about what? I'm looking at this here. 14,695 or something like that, right?
Which so probably coincided with Apple top ticking on the day as
Does
well.
Does that make sense as a trade
100%, here? At, because that's what you're looking at. You're looking at that reversal on Apple, and then you're sort of saying, all right, I'm going to correlate this to the NASDAQ futures, and I'm going to trade against both. So you're either stopping out against a new high in Apple or effectively that new recent high in the NASDAQ. So, yes.
So that's how I'd be thinking about trading that. All right, let's look at yields here. We just looked at the CME Fed Fund tracker here, and we know that, you know, the all-important June meeting here.
I love
is
that.
It a pause?
It's always
is
an all-important.
Is it one and done? Is it a skip? Is it a this? I mean, listen. I think that unemployment data, and we talked about it with Liz on Monday, that would be yesterday. You and I talked about it yesterday on Market Call a little bit. I think it was a little confusing because some of the data suggests that the jobs picture is weakening a little bit, that unemployment rate went to 3.7% from 3.4, which was a 70-year low. But the number, the headline number at 3.39 was big, and the revisions are big. So listen, dude, here's the thing, and I think this is important for our listeners to think about. It's like, you know, I got to a point in the lead up to the debt ceiling thing. I always thought they were going to get it resolved. Okay. I didn't want to see worst case scenarios because it would help my bearish view of the stock market. I am very hopeful that the economy here in the US stays together. I don't want lots of America. You say this all the time. A lot of Americans are underemployed right? Like, we know that despite 3.5 or whatever the hell it is, unemployment rate, I don't want to see it go up dramatically because you don't want to see an economy hurt a lot of people. We don't want to see it. But at the end of the day, the markets are not the economy. We talk about this all the time. And the market's not pricing any fear of the probability of something happening. And they didn't even price it in the debt ceiling. They're not pricing it right now as far as slower economic data. And that's what bothers me. Not that I want to see some sort of economic calamity. I do not.
4,300 S&P is pricing in a soft landing, 100%. Yeah. It's pricing in unemployment not ticking much higher than 4.1, 4.2%. GDP probably hovering around 2.1% or so. Inflation maybe continuing to come lower in the form of 4.9 down to 4.5 type of thing. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, something along the way is going to break. And I'll say it, I was wrong in terms of how long the lag effect would need to take hold. It's clearly taking a lot longer. Maybe there's more cash sloshing around. And in some perverse way, I believe that that Silicon Valley Bank failure back in March, that was the 16th largest bank, that's probably the most bullish thing that happened to the market over the last 4 or 5 months. And I know that sounds completely counterintuitive, but I think it got people back on sides in terms of, wait a second, maybe the Fed's got us and maybe things are going to, maybe they're going to have to sort of bail us out. And it's led to a pretty interesting rally to the upside. But go back and look at 08-09, what we saw in the aftermath of Bear Stearns. Yeah. You know, those 3-4 months in the aftermath, the market actually did pretty well. It was 4 months or so later where I think things started to take hold again.
The S&P was up 15%.
Yeah, oddly enough.
Let's pull up the KRE, which is the
decent day today.
Yeah, decent day. But also from a technical standpoint, this is the thing that kind of interests me, Guy. Because, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. And, you know, the last thing you want to do after a period of heightened, you know, like there was volatility in the space. It never really, it kind of crescendoed in early May, about a month ago here. But technically, you know, it seems like it's trying to bottom here. I feel like the fundamental issues that took down some of those banks probably haven't changed a whole heck of a lot, other than when we know what the powers that be, which is the government, the FDIC, the Treasury, the Fed, all that sort of stuff. We know what they're prepared to do now. And it's different. The size of the problem is not going to bubble up like it was in 2008. We're not going to have major money.
It's not a leverage problem. Right. We've said that all along.
Right. So my question to you is, look at this right here. And you would agree with me, it's trying to bottom, huge volume days in early May and everything like that. What do you do with this right here? Do you try to like wait and see how far extended it can get? And then you say, okay, the problems aren't done. We're probably only in the third or fourth.
You know, it's interesting. If you go back and remember, Facebook had that huge, now obviously Facebook has rallied historically over but Facebook had that huge downdraft. And then over a period of time, it looked like it was going to bottom, only to have that second downdraft. I'm not comparing Facebook with the banks, but in terms of the technical setup, it looks remarkably like we saw, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so. I think we're just headed sideways. Again, my opinion, yes, we've bounced a little bit here, but until the next sort of shoe drops. And there are a lot of people, a lot smarter than I am, that think the same thing's going to happen. There is another shoe to fall in this whole thing. And very quietly, the problems that these banks faced was duration risk. Well, the bond market is still manifesting itself in a way that a lot of these banks are probably not set up for. And we've talked about it with Liz Young. Twos, tens are widening out yet again. And I don't know where they're headed this time.
82 basis
points. 82 basis points. We got to about 43 basis points, I think, at its low.
Yeah.
And now we're back to 82. At our zenith, I think we went to 110 basis points of inversion. So think about that move over the last six or 7 months.
All right, so let's talk about that. So, all right, you ready for this? We were at 110 inverted on March 8th.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's basically 3 months, all right? And what happened on March 8th, we know it was that weekend that we were heading into, like, which banks were going to fail, this and that, whatever. So the fact that the 210 spread guy is moving back to that wides as far as inverted. Okay, so we're 20 basis points away or whatever the hell we are, or 30-ish or something like that. When you think about what does it mean? Okay, so the two-year is anchored to the Fed funds, which is about 5%, okay-ish, you know what I mean? I mean, it's still below that, right? So if we look at the two-year, we have it at 4.52, and then we have the 10-year at 3.70. So your point about the duration risk, the mark-to-market held-to-maturity securities that a lot of these banks hold, if they were to see, okay, so they're buying longer dated treasuries and the bonds went down in value, they had losses here. How does it play out? Because if yields, okay, go lower on the 10-year.
Which probably should happen. Yeah. And we're going to pull up a 10-year chart if we could. Yeah. But you know, it doesn't. Listen, what happens? It probably means they're going to get themselves into. They're going to have the same mistakes yet again, is my sense. And you know, historically, a widening of the yield curve, a steep, you know, a twos tens as inverted as it is, it's not a bullish signal. And obviously, it wasn't bullish that in March. It came back, but as Liz Young says, it's not the inversion; it's the re-steepening and then the subsequent inversion that's going to scare people. And it's happening right before our very eyes. So the banks are not set up for this. So what do I think is happening? Well, the economy's slowing, and that manifests itself in 10-year yields going lower. Inflation is clearly still a problem. That manifests itself in a very sticky two-year. And that's what we're seeing right before our eyes here.
Yeah. Let's hit crude, because yesterday at this time, we were talking about that OPEC Plus meeting. We're talking the unilateral supply cut, production cut by the Saudis. We had Halima Croft from RBC on the CNBC Fast Money last night, who's also been a guest on multiple occasions on our On the Tape podcast that Guy and I host with Liz Young on Mondays and Danny Moses on Fridays. So follow it in your favorite podcast.
I have my favorite podcast. I'm not going to tell.
Stitcher?
I like the Stitcher. I like the Zillow application too to get my podcast.
Really? That's for
no.
That's for. Oh, I got to tell a story. We're gonna have a few extra minutes at the end of this.
That's
thing.
That's not a thing.
No. I got to tell a story at the end of this thing. All right. So
tell it now.
Yeah. So last night I went and saw this mentalist.
Pardon me?
Yeah. No. I know a lot of people call you mental. Like you're completely mental.
Oh, like this people guy, that can see the future and like guy, the mind.
His name is Oz Perlman. P-E-A-R. Sure. L-M-A-N.
CNBC had him on the stock draft.
Yes, and they also had him. So I first saw him. He was on Squawk and Friends with Becky Quick and
ARS.
ARS. I love Sorkin and that other guy.
Joe Kernan.
Right. And supposedly he's gone on a bunch. And Becky Quick has been super skeptical of his thing. Okay. He did a thing with her.
Last night.
This was months ago. If you Google it, and maybe Jacob can find it, put it in the show notes or put it in whatever. He did this thing with her, and she's a skeptic. Okay. And she said, does anyone know your PIN number to your bank card? And she said, nobody knows it. Not even your husband. He guessed it. Now, he didn't guess it on air. He wrote it down for her and she was floored. I saw him do this stuff again and again in a room of 100 people last night. Okay. Listen what he did with me.
Maybe he should do market call.
We're going to bring him on. He's never met me. Okay. He had me stand up in front of 100 people. He said, I want you to think about a pet.
A pen.
A pet. That you've had. He goes, how many pets have you had in your lifetime? I said, 6 or 7. He goes, I want you to think about one of them. I said, great. He goes, is it a dog? I said, yes. He's like, all right, I had a 50-50 shot there. You know what I mean? Dog or cat, that sort of thing. All right. And he said, I want you to think about how many letters is in that dog's name. Okay. I counted like that, like you just did. And he goes, is it 6? I said, yes. He goes, I want you to choose one letter in the dog's name. He goes, is it a G? I said, yes.
He said Dodger. It's crazy.
I was floored in front of 100 people. How does that happen?
I don't know.
So you guys got to look this guy up. Oz Perlman. I got his number.
It's interesting because he spells his name O-Z.
Oz.
And I would say I'd call him Oz.
Yeah.
But he would have known that I would say that.
You know what's
so funny
about this, too? He would
have corrected me
before. This is so funny.
He would have said, before you call me Oz, because I know you're about to do that, I'm Oz.
You know what's so funny? There are some people who just are not in on it. They went. They paid the money to go see. He gets them up. He's trying to get them. And they are just jackasses. I mean, they're trying to mess him up. All right. But that was my little story. That just kind of freaked me out.
Get that guy's ass. Maybe he can tell me what's going to happen in the gold market.
It's him or ChatGPT. Like those two things are probably going to do better than Dan and Guy in the markets. Don't you think so?
Well, maybe those.
All right.
Let's look at crude oil.
Let's look at crude. All right. So we were saying a day ago, we were talking about crude. We were talking about that unilateral cut. Halima Croft. I don't know how we got. How do we get there?
You said Halima Croft.
Oh.
And then you said you can get it in your favorite podcast.
I got completely
mental. Then I said mine is Zillow. You looked at me like I was nuts. And then for some reason, Zillow triggered this whole O's thing. He would have known that, by the way.
True that.
Anyway, continue on crude oil because I do think it's going higher. Maybe we can pull up a chart here.
All right, we do have a chart. What would possibly be the impetus for this right now? Because I like it can't get out of its own way. And it had that huge rally. So what was that rally?
Can't get out of its own way. I agree with you, by the way.
Like so, no, technicals. I mean, the chart looks horrible.
It looks awful in terms of this downtrend. If you look at the bottoms, you know, we didn't get down to the lows we saw in May.
Yeah,
we're bouncing to the trend line. I still think there's going to be continued rhetoric out of OPEC. I think if this cut doesn't work in terms of price. They're going to do it again. They're going to do whatever they need to do to get the price higher. And also, by the way, I've said it 100 times, despite the fact that global economies seem to be slowing, there's still a huge supply-demand imbalance. And Halima probably talked
about it.
So, I mean, it's out there. And by the way, and I'm not comparing but real quick, look at what home builders are doing today. Yeah. Pulte Homes, all-time high. Toll Brothers, all-time high. It's got nothing to do necessarily with the economic landscape. It's all based on supply-demand imbalances, and we've talked about that for a year.
Okay, so how so you've traded crude oil.
But yes, crude oil does not
You've traded crude oil for 30 years. Okay.
Like, 30 years.
But you traded it for a while, but you I'm sorry.
We used to throw it around.
No, I know, but you and you like the way I always have one eye open on like an apple, you do on crude oil, okay?
Because exactly.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm a commodity geek.
You're right.
So my question to you is that how does an oversupply, weak demand situation, like, how does it repair itself?
It's not. See, that's the thing. There's really, it's not an oversupply right now. I mean, it's not necessarily.
Why
demand
are they cutting
thing.
Supply?
Oh, because they want the price higher.
Right, but
they want.
But,
that's all it is.
But supply demand dynamics. I mean, if there's more demand, then the
well,
you're
going to see.
But you know, I'm just saying it's yeah. it's just a weird conundrum, I guess. You know, and the price action is. Listen, we went through a year and a half where if you tried to short this thing, it was a widowmaker. Yeah. You know what I mean? And now it feels like every time you try to buy it, it gets rejected at resistance, you know?
Listen, the underlying stocks haven't traded well. I'll say this. OIH is still in a bit of an uptrend since 2020. It continues to make seemingly higher lows. We'll see how that plays itself out. The other thing I think we should look at is gold, because it's all part and parcel. Crude oil is a true commodity. Gold, not so much, but gold is labeled a commodity. Here we are, and if you pull up a chart, we're in this uptrend still. We have held it, and the moving averages are starting to turn higher. So, again, you're going to ask me, what's the catalyst? I don't know. I don't know what these Fed officials are going to say next week, if that necessarily is it. Obviously, the debt ceiling wasn't it. Maybe the dollar getting whacked here potentially could be it. Dollar's not really doing much. So I still think gold goes higher. Central banks continue to buy gold in record amounts. And I've said it 100 times. At a certain point, it's going to manifest itself in the price.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
You're not a believer.
No. Technically.
There was a good song by the Monkees, by the way.
Hey, it's the Monkees.
If you can name, what's the chat thing?
Chat.
No. The thing in our, if somebody can name all four Monkees, I'll give you him or her a shout out.
Can I do it?
Can you do it?
Mike Nesmith.
Yeah, Mike, that's a hard one.
Davy Jones.
That's third, second. You're not going to get the fourth. I'm just telling you right now. I'll give you Mickey Dolenz. He was the drummer.
I was going Mickey Dolenz. He's the one who wore the hats.
Michael Nesmith.
Oh, he had the
hat.
Longer hair. Well, they all had long hair.
Yeah.
All right, Mickey Dolenz.
You're not going to get it. Davy Jones, who was in the Brady Bunch.
Then there was a tall, nerdy guy.
Yeah, they were all sort of nerdy.
No, this is the tall, dark-haired, nerdy guy.
No, that was Michael Nesmith.
Davy Jones, Michael Nesmith, Mickey.
Victor Nolan. Carbino got it. It's Peter Tork.
Oh, Peter Tork. Yeah. He was the guy who was like the dough face looking guy. Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that. The money where you were saying I'm a believer. There was a song, I'm a believer.
Technically, that's a good looking chart, man. And you know, it held that 100-day moving average on two occasions over the last couple of weeks. You see the 200-day all the way down there. I see what you see. And if the next move of the Fed is to position in a dovish manner, then gold should rally, in my opinion. Okay. One thing I want to go back to before we hit the last thing, which is Bitcoin, and I think it's super interesting. A couple of days with Coinbase and Binance. Let's go to the Russell. We had this conversation yesterday, Russell 2000. If you guys can pull up the Russell 2000 futures here. We talked to Carter about this, and we're talking about a friend of mine who's asking me whether he should take some profits in the QQQ and the NASDAQ 100. And I said, listen, I think if you sell and you take some profits, he's up 30% dollar cost averaging over the last year.
You said start layering into the Russell. Look, then you said this isn't a pairs trade. It's more in terms of the way you're
–
and it's rallying today. And the Russell's rallying today because the banks – regional right, banks
that's where I was going so for instance, one of the things that's been holding back small caps is the exposure to regional banks and smalling banks, and so that was kind of, but that consolidation that we've had since mid-March is pretty interesting because it never made a new 52-week low. That's the Russell, and here we are breaking out above it. I'm not bringing this up because what I said yesterday. I'm bringing it up because it's really important if you're trying to find things, right? Like if you're trying to find some silver linings and some stuff where you can be bearish on the mega cap tech stock, and you could say, well, if the Russell 2000 has maybe taken some of the punishment of a lot of the things that we talked about, high inflation, higher yield, you know, all that sort of stuff, then maybe it is setting up for something that you want to dollar cost average in. Because when I look at this chart, I look at that 1650 level guy, and I'd say if you wanted to start dollar cost averaging, you know, when it gets back to 1750, there's not too much room to the down, unless we had like an economic calamity.
It's a regional bank. Right now, the Russell's an overlay of the regional bank. So if you think there's going to be another leg low in the regional banks, you're sort of, I think you're getting out of the Russell here. It's really comes down to what you think.
But today's an important day to keep an eye on, because if we do have another leg lower the regionals, at some point, this could be a place to go to once it gets washed out.
You mentioned Silver Linings. Did you like the movie? And I mentioned this because I love Brad Cooper, who happens to have gone to Georgetown University as well. Did you like Silver Linings Playbook?
J-Law, Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
I did. It was quirky.
No, I didn't think it was quirky. I actually was. That was a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
There were two like tortured souls. We're all broken people. And sometimes broken people need to find somebody that's equally broken.
Do you really think we're all broken
people?
Yes,
absolutely. Really? Everybody's dealing with something.
No, everyone's got adversity, but being broken means like your kind of inability to kind of move forward.
That's not true. Jennifer Lawrence was moving forward. Bradley Cooper was moving, but they were broken and moving forward.
Was it substance abuse, or it was like there was mental issues? What was
Well, I think Brad Cooper's, I think Brad had a lot of issues. His wife treated him like shit.
Yeah. Who was the wife?
I don't remember. But then he met
Somebody
then
put
he met Jennifer
chat,
Lawrence,
J-Law.
And he, you know, he immediately fell in love with her, but he didn't want to recognize that. She obviously
who played
dug
the wife?
Him.
There were some others, a lot of other great actors in that. I remember.
Good movie. De Niro, you know, De Niro just killing it. I love De Niro.
Yeah,
maybe we get him on the tape podcast.
I don't think so.
Let's talk about Coinbase disaster du jour. I mean, and we've pointed this out. I don't really get it. Somebody said on Fast Money, I think 2 years ago, that Coinbase was going to be the bank of the metaverse. And I didn't,
you know,
for the life of me.
You know, said it?
Gene Munster.
Yeah.
And I, for the life
Gene's
of me,
awesome.
I didn't.
He might be right.
Maybe they're the bank. I have no idea.
What's
you
the
need
metaverse?
A bank in the metaverse, apparently. I'm one of these people, by the way. And we got to get out of here. I'm sorry.
We do.
So I worked at Goldman Sachs from 1996 to 2003. It was sometime in 2001 where I got a call from HR or something.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, that's not a good. You don't even want to get.
No.
They said, listen, you're the only person left at the bank that doesn't get direct deposit. You have to. I'm like, no, I don't have to do a damn thing. Then I know you actually do.
If you want to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want the frigging paycheck. I want all the things, you know, the numbers, FICA and FICA and those. No. They said you got to do direct deposit. I'm like, all right. That was the last one.
So I had a really funny joke.
So why do you need a bank? I mean, apparently you don't need a bank for anything. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the Coinbase is getting sued.
It's a true story, by the way.
By the SEC. They sued Binance yesterday. The stock's down 15%. It got killed yesterday on the Binance news. You know, this doesn't even talk about the pressure that they have as far as pricing, you know, and as far as volumes and all that sort of stuff. If you look at the one-year chart of Coinbase, you know, you kind of say to yourself, okay, maybe there's some support down there near the January lows. But let's look at Bitcoin, the futures, really quickly here, Guy, because I think this is interesting. You know, it had that huge move up in March. It actually sold off with all the banking issues.
Double.
I remember.
Think about Bitcoin double, went up 100%.
Yeah, but it initially sold off after the big ramp early this year during the banking crisis, the regional banking crisis. And then it ripped when people feel, what's the Fed's, what's their move? The moves to support the banks. And then it ripped. But it's actually not been trading particularly well for the last 2 months. So that 200-day moving average seems like it's got a target on its back. That's 22,130 in the futures. And then if I look at the five-year, and this is not a log chart here, people, but you know, you're going back to that kind of 12,000 level that was kind of the lows from late last year or so. So let's see how it acts if it gets to its 200-day. And I said this on Fast Money last night. Why do we care about Bitcoin? Well, to me, I do think it's an interesting risk. A macro risk asset that a lot of macro folks are looking at. It's also, you know, a $500 billion market cap when you think about it. So, you know, Meta that you just mentioned as a $700 billion market cap, put Ethereum and Bitcoin together and you get a Meta's market cap. I think you have to look at it. I think, you know what I mean? It's got to be one of those things that is on your main fact sheet page, because at the end of the day, people are trading it and they might be expressing macro views using it.
I like what you did there. You very well done. I want to remind people that next Monday.
Oh, yeah.
What day is that? That's the 12th.
The 12th. Monday, June 12th.
June 12th.
Yes. 12 o'clock noon.
For all you Geminis out there. So right now we're in peak Gemini season. So if that means, if you think about it, if one person listens, it's a Gemini, we double our audience by definition. Because all you Geminis out there are psycho, number one. Number two, Monday at noon, call in. So if you forget the number, apparently it's 844 Wharton.
They're just trolling me.
Now, the problem with that is a lot of people don't know how to spell Wharton. I will tell you there's an H in it. So it's Whartton. But the number, Dan, is 844-942-7866. So get ready, people, and call in. And you can say whatever you want to me. Try to keep it somewhat clean. But if you come at me, I guarantee I'm coming right back at your ass, number one. But I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank FactSet, financial data and analytics powered by Tomorrow. They're our data provider, as you know. I want to thank CME Group, Dan, where risk meets
opportunity.
Where risk meets opportunity. I want to get Laird Hamilton on this show to sort of riff about surfing, because a lot of people don't know. I actually surfed Mavericks back in the day where nobody knew what Mavericks was. I'm just telling you. But that's it today. And I want to, again, this road thing is going to be huge. And I appreciate you mentioning it, because we're all dealing with something, as I mentioned. And if road can help, Dan, well, we're here for you folks.
Road can help. I mean, it's changed my life in 4 months here, people. You're going to hear a lot more about my journey and that company on the Risk Reversal Media programming here. So thanks to Roe. Thank you, Guy Adami. Thanks for all
we had an audience today
in the comment section. That was a whole heck of a lot of fun.
We had Rafis behind the board. Want to say hi to Stephen Rafis. We had Millie. We had Kylie. We had Jacob. We had Amanda. Amanda's kid is probably watching, right? Amanda, is that true? She's giving me the thumbs up.
Cece.
Baby Cece, who just turned 6 months old.
Crazy.
Before you know it, that kid's going to be 7 months old. It's the craziest thing how time goes by.
Yeah.
Dan wants to get out of here.
All right. I got to jackass it down to D.C. I got to go on the Acela.
Oh, I like the Acela.
Yeah.
No, it's very civilized, the train.
It is.
No, it is.
You like it. It's kind of old-timey. When you were, like, playing baseball in the 30s, yeah, then you guys used to travel by train.
Yeah. And we used to have all these, like, gags. We used to play, like, pinochle and stuff together. It was a lot of fun. But that's it. So we'll see you people tomorrow. See later.
Thanks.